over there now.
So, we two Sundays ago, we started the Advent season, and Pastor Don talked about hope. And that's the first Sunday of Advent is we focus on hope. And if we don't have hope, how can we go on? We face many different trials, many different things in our life that come at us, but we have to have hope. And hope is coupled with faith. In my view, hope is coupled with faith. And faith and hope are the place where reason or logic begins to fail. No, reason begins to fail. Mm-hmm. Because logic comes from a place of knowledge and words. And Jesus Christ is the Logos. He is the Word. And He bridges that gap between the two, between spiritual and material. So hope and faith take us beyond what our eyes and ears can tell us about a situation. We can have hope. And then the following week, last Sunday, we talked about peace. And we talked about how Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and that in Christ we can have this peace that passes understanding, where we're given bad news, but we can have peace. We can have peace about a situation to say, you know what, this looks morbid, this looks hopeless and helpless, but I have hope, and because I have hope, I have peace. When I went in last September for my surgery, it was nothing but peace. There was no anxiety, you know. For the test, there was zero anxiety for the first time. But the second time, it was a little bit, I'll admit it. But then when I went in to go under the knife, it's like, I'm fine. You know? And I'm sure, like, Uncle David Lawrence would say that he had a lot of peace. This past week was the anniversary of when he had the bypass surgery. He had gone in for his physical, and when he's on a treadmill with all the wires hanging off, they stopped it and said, "You're staying." "What? I'm not staying." "Yeah, you're staying. You have an issue." And it was like, wasn't it right that day they scheduled him and got him in for emergency bypass surgery? Was it a quintuple, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, five.
Or sextuple.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot. It was like the whole enchilada. It seemed like a whole enchilada they went for. Yeah. But he's told us before he had 100% peace. It wasn't like, "I'm dying," you know. It was just, he knows whose hands he's in.
Part of denial.
Huh?
Part of it was denial.
In the beginning, it was denial. It's like, "No, I'm leaving. Bye." You know? And it was like, "Okay, they're pretty serious about this. I guess I'll stay." So, did they hit him with, like, a big morphine shot so he fell out? So today is the Sunday we look at joy. And each one of them is connected. Hope is connected to peace, and peace is connected to joy. And that's pretty much what we're going to look at. So I wrote a little paragraph here. This time of year has become known as Advent, which means arrival. It began 2 weeks ago when we looked at hope, followed up last week with peace. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, we're looking at joy. Joy differs from happiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can be happy, but happiness depends right on what's happening. It depends on what's happening around us. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, am I happy? No, I'm not really happy today. Joy transcends happiness. We can have joy in the midst of tribulation. Like Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And that word good cheer is related to have joy. Why? Because he's overcome the world. He's already done it. So we can glom onto that, to his victory, and we can say, you know what? I'm grafting into the vine. I'm part of this. And because he's there, we're going to look more at this. And it did it again. It's just funny to me when I'm typing the word Luke, the autocorrect changes it to like. I don't know why, and I didn't see it. So this is, I'm done. We're done. It's a mistake. So in Luke 1:39, This is after Mary has spent some time. You know, the angel has appeared to her. The angel has said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a child. And she's, you know, a little bit freaking out. You know, how can this be? Da, 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 da. And then she finally comes to accept what it is the angel is saying. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 41. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. And if we take the time and actually look at when Elizabeth became pregnant with John the Baptist, and then we see when Mary became pregnant with Jesus, we can figure out the time of year. And it's more toward the season of tabernacles. It's more toward the fall when Jesus actually would have been born. And John the Baptist and Jesus were born 3 months apart. And some of us know the math. You've been through the math where it's like 9 months, and so 3 months, so 6 months, and so John was born. So anyway, Jesus had developed to this point where he was recognizable by his cousin in the womb. And though I've never experienced it myself, I have read and heard that when the baby begins to kick for the first time, y'all get really excited. You know? And then when you can see it, it's like there's just some joy, I would imagine. You know? I won't go where I'm thinking right now. But who said good? Is that good? But when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was this sense of joy that came. Here's two cousins that had grown up together. They were both going to have babies. And, you know, how do you, when you've grown up with people and you're both pregnant at the same time, like mm-hmm. sisters, mm-hmm. it's just, it looks really cool to see that kind of interaction and family members and close friends. So now it's time for the usual definition of joy. Because I always like to look at definition. What does it mean? What does good old Webster have to say about it? Joy is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires, delight. The expression or exhibition of such emotion. I'm not going to read that word because some of us might interpret it wrong, but the word is gaiety. A state of happiness or felicity, bliss, a source or cause of delight. And I mentioned happiness there because we do relate joy a lot to happiness, but again, it transcends. The Hebrew word is shamach, and it means to rejoice or be glad. To be arrogantly glad, to be, which is hard to accept, but that's what it says in the Bible. That's the word. It's related to this word to be religiously joyful, to cause to rejoice, to gladden, to make glad, to cause to rejoice, to gladden and make glad. This word is used a lot in the Psalms pertaining to worship. It's related to the word rejoice, to have joy, to rejoice in the Lord always. And I went Christmas shopping for the crew at work. And there's four of us full-time on the crew, and we exchange gifts. We don't spend that much on one another, but and a lot of times, you know, we'll buy little joke gifts, or we'll do something, you know, be a little bit more thoughtful, but, you know, something that's practical in that. And this year, I was really moved, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older and I'm feeling nostalgic, and maybe my heart is changing a little bit and I'm starting to really love people. But yeah, the Grinch, they grew 10 times. What, 10 times? Yeah, huh? Yeah. And So for my little buddy Wayne, I've mentioned him several times. He is my brother from another mother for sure. When he had his stroke, I was really concerned about him because I thought, you know, he's really in a bad place right now. He may not be coming back to work. And where Water Country sits, it is the edge of the property is on the water that leads to the Colonial Parkway. So we go out there a lot of times on our breaks, or we used to dump leaves and different back towards that area. And you can go out there and you can see the parkway, you can see the reeds, you can, you know, the waterfowl, all kinds of animals, all kinds of birds that are out. You know, if you fish out there and you see the blue herons and that. But that view, it's sunrise, especially when the sky is so pink or orange, is just amazing. And Wayne spends a lot of time out there. He's got one of the loungers, and he'll go out there and just sit during lunchtime. Just hang out. He loves it. You know? And it used to be a hunting grounds. There's an old hunting lodge. And there's some places where there's tree stands that were nailed, you know, just boards nailed in, ladders. And sometimes he'll still go up there, hang out, and watch for deer. But when I thought he might not be coming back to work, I was moved to go out to this spot that he sits. And I took photographs, this panoramic photo of the sunrise. And then I went back on another day, on a bright, sunny, green day where the plants were just, the trees lining and everything was just green. And I took another, the same exact photograph. And when I went to have them blown up into 8x10s, went to go pick up the photos. And the man who had done the processing said, "Those are beautiful photographs, by the way." And I said, "Thank you. You know, I was really hoping they would be." So I put them all in frames and have it so that you can kind of do like this thing, yeah. You know, that. And I didn't tell him what was in it, but when I gave him the box, we were leaving work on Friday, or I was leaving work on Thursday, my last day until New Year's. And I started to tell him, I said, "You know what, Wayne, this gift really means a lot. And when you had," and I told him, "when you had the stroke, I was really worried about you. We all were. And I didn't know if you were going to be coming back. And so this is from my heart to you." And he's like, "Shut up." Because he started crying. He's like welling up. And he's a tough guy. He's really tough. He's got stone heart. And then there's a lady that works with us, and I think I've mentioned before that she and I are very similar in our makeup. We would probably score the same on the Enneagram or any other personality test. And I really thought about the gift for her as well. So, no, I'm not going to give her the usual, you know, slippers, blanket, incense, candles, you know, girly stuff. I'm not going to do that. And so I found something for her. Two things. And when I gave them to her, I said, "I know since I've known you, a lot of the time I have been a real not so kind person. I have been bad. And I just want you to know that I do love you. I pray for you. I think about you often. When we talk and you talk about your illness, she's had cancer. I said, I really feel for you. I pray for you. And I mention you often to friends in church, Dawn and Sue." Of course, she started to cry.
Yes.
And I thought about, this is a saying that, it was anonymous, but it's been attributed, and I can't remember the lady's name, I didn't write it down or type it down. But I saw this this plaque, saw one that said, bless this house. And that's always good to have. Her mother went home just a few years ago. She had had dementia and other issues. And so Auntie's been in this house, and she's been lonely. But she takes care of things and works around her neighbor's homes and that. Over in Stony Brook over there. And then the other one that caught my eye, and I've heard this many times over the last several years. Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And I've been trying to learn this lesson for a long time now. Life is not waiting for the storm to pass. It's learning to dance in the rain. And that speaks of joy. When the kids came in this morning during that song, and they were just happy and peppy and bursting with joy. It really made me feel happy inside. Like, man, I want to be like that. I really want to be like that. We wait for the storm to pass? No, we learn how to dance in the rain. Mm-hmm. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In this world you will have tribulation, but I want you to have joy, because it's not as bad as you think. Look to me, he says. There's hope. And in that hope there is peace. Yes. And in that peace you can have joy. So though the storm goes on around us, people may look and say, how the heck can you be dancing in the middle of a tornado? How can you be dancing in a hurricane? How can you be dancing in an earthquake? Well, that's not hard to do.
How can you not?
It's hard not to dance in all three.
Exactly. Sometimes. Yeah. Lean back. In a hurricane, just lean back. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That's how we can dance in the rain. We have this hope as an anchor. Because we have hope in Christ Jesus, who is the anchor of our soul, we can have a peace that goes beyond all reason. Because Jesus Christ is our peace by virtue of his being the Prince of Peace, which means we can have joy even in the middle of the muck and junk of life. Because Jesus Christ said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And this takes us to the last few scripture verses. We've got three more that we're going to look at. And quickly, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is should be very familiar to most of us, and it's an important thing to have inside to remember. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yes.
I think of there have been times where we have to check the perimeter fence around water country, especially after a storm, to see if trees have fallen or what's going on around the perimeter fence. And sometimes it's difficult to walk through those woods. You know, your hunters know that. You know, there can be briars and, vines and fallen trees and limbs, and sometimes you'll walk through and you can get hung up. And I get that image, when he says, don't be so easily entangled. Throw off the things that easily entangle. Watch your step. And then when you get there, we have to work at it. It's work to walk in faith. It's not that we live by works, but it's work to live in that way. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the pioneer. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That means we hold on to our hope. We fix our eyes on him, and he is our hope. We can, wherever we are, when he says, look at me, like he told Peter, look at me, You know, you can tell that to a kid. You know, when a child is in a particular situation and they're beginning to freak out, they're beginning to get scared, or they've reached that point where they're, what is the word? They're out, they're not themselves. And you can stop and you can say, wait, look at me. How many times do you see that in films? You know, where the rescuer is there and it's, wait, look at me. Step forward, come on. That's what the Lord does to us. You know, we might be discombobulated. And he says, stop, look. So we endure opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We don't have to grow weary and lose heart. Psalm 94, verses 18 through 19. Psalm 94, 18 through 19 says, when I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. The psalmist says, as I was walking along and I came to a place in the path, I lost my footing. I was slipping. I was falling. How many of you have ever been, you've been hiking and you get to a place where it's muddy or there's moss or whatever, and you begin to slip and you fall? I've been there many times. In fact, one time I broke my leg walking through the woods and slipped. It's still a big joke. But he says, the psalmist says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Okay? That means there's turmoil. When anxiety was great within me, what am I going to do about this situation? I have bills to pay. I have a lease payment or a rent payment or a mortgage payment to make, a car payment to make. There's been a medical issue in my family. Whatever it might be, I have anxiety. That's human. That's human nature. I'd be anxious about things. That's why the Bible says, don't be anxious. He wants us, look at me. When anxiety was great in me, your consolation, what does that mean? He consoles us. What's consolation? Brings us peace. And that peace brought me joy. I'm good. It's okay. It's going to work out. I'm going to trust the Lord in this situation. I have hope. My hope is firm. He's the author and finisher of my faith, and I have him as an anchor for my soul so that I don't have to be anxious for anything. He brings peace. Then he brings joy. The last place that we're going to look at is Nehemiah. An Old Testament prophet. He was not the shortest man in the Bible, but he was close to it because he was knee-high. Oh.
Lord rescue.
He was a height, what do they call that? Vertically challenged individual. Nehemiah had a very important job. He was at that place where they had found the scripture that had been hidden away. The walls had been destroyed. There was a lot of issues. He was brought back as the prophet to help rebuild the wall right around Jerusalem. And this is the story where they've got a sword in one hand and they work with the other. And this is a period of time right after Ezra the priest has read the scripture, right after they've taken out the scrolls that they found and they begin to read from the prophets and from the Pentateuch, the words of God that had come before. And Ezra reads this, and then Nehemiah speaks in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. He says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. A lot of us are going to do that when we leave here today. He wants us to enjoy choice food, good food. And I'm thinking sweet wine, you know, like Manischewitz or something. Because that's what they drink. They didn't always have fresh water, but wine is can be pure. But they were given permission. And then he said, and those that don't have anything, share with them. This is for all of us. We've just found the Word of God. It's been read to us. We're going to rejoice. And what did he say? The joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we have this hope. Hope leads to peace, and peace leads to joy.
Yeah.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Take that to heart this morning. And we have to encourage one another in these things. We want to talk about this stuff more and more as the day approaches. As we see places around the country where pastors and missionaries are put to death by tribes that don't understand. The one that happened recently when there was a missionary attempting to go into a tribe in India that did not want to be seen, did not want to be talked to. And then we hear about pastors in a lot of different countries who are arrested and detained because it is illegal to have any kind of religion there. Tam and I were watching a documentary yesterday, because I'm that kind of a boring guy. We were watching a documentary about communism and how it started in Germany and then made its way through Eastern Europe and then into Asia and then in Southeast Asia, into Cambodia, and then down to Cuba, and then in various other places of the world. But in each place that came, priests and pastors, whatever the religion was, they were persecuted. They were arrested and put in labor camps or just put to death. They would drag people out of the churches, and they would shoot them. They would line them up because they didn't want religion to be a part of communism. This stuff was real. And so we need to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. As our society becomes more secular, as our society becomes more and more anti-theist, against God, against the idea of God, God does not exist. People who believe in Jesus Christ, people who believe in any God are ridiculed. As that becomes more and more and more apparent in our society and our culture, there's a day coming, I believe, where it will be made illegal here. So we need to encourage one another more and more. So Father, I thank you for the time here this morning. And for those of us here who still need hope in any particular situation, I just ask that you would give us hope. And I know we talked earlier before we started with Angie and then just being so close to Anna. Just want to lift up Stephen to you. That you would give him hope in his situation. With SJ, that you would open the doors during this waiting period, that you would give him hope and peace and joy. We pray once again for Gregory and Isabel. Yeah, I think if, depending on where the Earth is and the axis and all, I think, yeah.
Actually, they say it depends more on what the sun is doing. It's throwing at us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.